Welcome to SNC's podcast series, SNC Critical Insights. I'm Julie Jordan, co-head of SNC's Labor and Employment Practice, and I'm joined today by Jeanette Vander, a partner in our Executive Compensation Group. On today's podcast, we will be focusing on key employer takeaways from the CARES Act that was enacted just last Friday. For employers who are facing significant business uncertainty as a result of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, the CARES Act merits careful consideration in determining what is best both for the employer and employee on a going forward basis. On today's podcast, I will start us off by addressing the Act's significant expansion of unemployment assistance, its amendments to the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, commonly called FFCRA, and then turn to the unprecedented forgivable loan program for small businesses that is contingent on the avoidance of certain layoffs and wage reductions. Jeanette will then address employment and labor considerations relating to the receipt of financial assistance available to other businesses under Title IV of the CARES Act. First, the CARES Act significantly expands unemployment assistance under its Relief for Workers Aid provisions. For employers who are considering the need to furlough or lay off employees as a result of COVID-19, the Relief for Workers Aid provides employees with an additional $600 per week for up to 39 weeks of unemployment compensation for employees who are unable to work due to the pandemic. That is in addition to the regular unemployment compensation that employees may be entitled to under state law. A few legislators had unsuccessfully argued that $600 per week on top of the existing state unemployment benefits may lead to some individuals actually receiving more than 100% of their prior wages by claiming unemployment. The CARES Act, however, does not contain a cap of total unemployment compensation at 100% of prior wages. The Act expands eligibility for unemployment to individuals who historically would not have qualified under state employment regulations, such as self-employed individuals and gig workers. Unemployment compensation is also available under the Act for certain specified circumstances relating to the pandemic, such as being the primary caregiver for a child whose school is closed, having or providing for a family member who has COVID-19, or being under quarantine. The Act does not cover an individual who is able to telework or who is receiving paid sick leave. The 39-week limitation period for unemployment gives eligible individuals an additional 13 weeks of unemployment compensation that they normally would have exhausted under state unemployment benefits, which are generally only available for 26 weeks. Those additional 13 weeks are subject to certain work search requirements. Importantly, there is no waiting period to be covered by these federal unemployment benefits. Prior to the pandemic, most states typically had a one-week waiting period before receipt of unemployment benefits. The Act provides that the federal government will provide full funding to those states who waive the waiting period for their unemployment benefits. As a result, eligible individuals who are furloughed or laid off will be able to receive benefits immediately once the unemployment begins. Now, turning to the FFCRA amendments. First, as background, the FFCRA, which we covered in a separate podcast, covers employers with fewer than 500 employees and in part provides for unpaid and paid leave for employees relating to the pandemic. While many of the FFCRA amendments contained in the CARES Act are technical in nature, the CARES Act does broaden employee eligibility to receive expanded child care leave under the FFCRA to include certain employees who were laid off due to COVID-19 and then rehired by the same employer. The CARES Act also establishes advances for FFCRA tax credits and sets payment caps for the paid leave under the FFCRA. For paid leave under the sick care provision of the FFCRA, it is capped at $511 per day for self-care and $200 per day for care of a family member. Paid leave under the Expansion Act contained in the FFCRA is limited to $200 per day. This act is scheduled to go into effect tomorrow, the FFCRA. In guidance issued just last week, Importantly, the DOL clarified that an employer is not required by the FFCRA to provide paid leave to an employee furloughed for lack of work or business. Now, turning to the unprecedented forgivable loan program under the CARES Act, referred to as the Paycheck Protection Program. For small businesses, this program provides a significant incentive to continue employing workers at their full wages during the expected height of the COVID-19 pandemic. The program will be administered directly or in cooperation with an approved lender by the SBA and provides for up to $349 billion in low-interest loans to qualifying small businesses. Small businesses are generally eligible if they have not more than greater of 500 employees, or if applicable, the number of employees established by the Small Business Association for the industry in which the business participates. Notably, the hospitality business, such as hotels and restaurants, are eligible if they have fewer than 500 employees per physical location. An employer's loan forgiveness amount will be reduced proportional to any reduction in workforce and dollar for dollar for any reduction in employee compensation above a certain threshold. As a result, the entire loan principal amount can be forgiven if certain employee retention requirements are met. Under the rehiring savings clause, employers who laid off workers or reduced compensation as a result of the pandemic between the period of February 15th and April 26th can still have their loan forgiveness reduced if they reverse their workforce reductions by June 30th of this year. In short, any workforce reduction from February 15th to April 26th must be reversed by June 30th, or it will count against loan forgiveness under the program. As a result, the CARES Act contains a significant incentive for small businesses to retain their workforce or rehire employees already let go to be eligible for this loan forgiveness. With that, I will now turn it over to Jeanette.
Thank you, Julie. I will briefly address employment and labor considerations relating to the receipt of financial assistance available to businesses under Title IV of the CARES Act. The CARES Act authorizes the Treasury Secretary to make up to $500 billion in loans, guarantees, and other investments to support businesses that have suffered losses as a result of COVID-19. That $500 billion is available as follows. First, up to $25 billion to U.S. passenger air carriers and related businesses. Second, up to $4 billion to U.S. cargo air carriers. Third, up to $17 billion to businesses critical to maintaining national security. And finally, the remaining $454 billion plus any amounts not used in the first three categories, is available under programs to be established by the Federal Reserve for supporting lending to eligible businesses, states, or municipalities. Under this fourth category, the Treasury Secretary is required to seek to implement a Federal Reserve program that benefits mid-sized businesses with between 500 and 10,000 employees. The CARES Act also authorizes grants to businesses in the aviation industry to be used for the payment of wages and benefits. Businesses that are considering applying for loans or guarantees under these provisions should be mindful of the conditions to financial assistance. We will highlight two of these: compensation limits and a collective bargaining neutrality condition. First, the Treasury Secretary may enter into an agreement to make a loan or a guarantee to a business in the first three categories, which provide assistance to passenger air carriers, cargo air carriers, and businesses critical to national security, only if the business agrees to compensation limits for the period beginning on the date of the agreement and ending 1 year after the date on which the loan or guarantee is no longer outstanding. There are two applicable limits. The first applies to officers or employees of the business whose total compensation exceeded $425,000 in calendar year 2019, other than an employee whose compensation is determined under a collective bargaining agreement in effect before March 1, 2020. None of those individuals may receive compensation during any 12 consecutive months in the covered period that exceeds the total compensation that he or she received in calendar year 2019. Additionally, none of those individuals may receive severance pay or other termination benefits that exceed 2 times their total 2019 compensation. The second limit applies to officers or employees of the business whose total compensation exceeded $3 million in calendar year 2019. None of those individuals may receive compensation during any 12 consecutive months in the covered period that exceeds the sum of $3 million and half of the portion of their 2019 compensation that exceeded $3 million. Total compensation for this purpose includes salary, bonuses, stock awards, and other financial benefits provided by the business. Similar compensation limits generally apply to businesses in the aviation industry receiving financial assistance and to certain eligible businesses that receive direct loans from the Federal Reserve in the fourth category. These limits do not apply to the forgivable loan program for small businesses under Title I of the CARES Act. In addition to these compensation limits, a business obtaining a direct loan in the program set up under the fourth category in the Federal Reserve must certify that it will not abrogate existing collective bargaining agreements for up to 2 years after completing repayment and will remain neutral in any union organizing efforts of its employees. Now I will turn back to Julie.
Thanks, Jeanette. That concludes the podcast. Of course, today we provided you with a very high-level overview of the CARES Act from an employer perspective. You can find detailed memorandum addressing the numerous facets of this historic legislation on our website, www.solcrom.com, under Coronavirus S&C Updates. We also encourage you to subscribe to our blog, Legal Developments Affecting the Workplace, by clicking on the provided link. The blog is being continuously updated to reflect the ever-evolving legal landscape in this area. Thank you for listening to S&C Critical Insights. Be safe and well.